The Frank Sontag Show is furnished by Phil Liberatore and the law offices of Berglund & Johnson.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, hour number two of this, The Frank Sontag Show. I just got an email from listener Trent. He says, why don't you ever mention your social media? Well, let me mention it now. And part of the reason why I'm mentioning it, my ministry page, every once in a while I'll post a video that just, for whatever reasons, resonates, similar to the previous hour, talking about driving on Southern California freeways and all the insanity out there. A lot of you still weighing in via my emails. But I posted a video about a transgender man running in Italy, track and field, a high level, and he's crushed everybody. It's a short video. Let's see, we've got 7,119 views. And the comments are just, I keep monitoring the page because some of you, you can't say those words on my page. That's one thing I won't put up with, vulgarity on my page on Facebook or Instagram. But if you are in social media and don't know, you can find me at Frank Sontag, and my ministry is KMG Ministries. Trent, thank you for that. Bob from Malibu called to talk about electric vehicles. Let me weigh into this. This took me a while to edit, but I want to share as much as I can. There is a commentary by Kevin Stocklin on the Epoch Times. It's entitled Analysis, What You're Not Being Told About the Electric Vehicle Revolution. And I'm going to mention about one-tenth of this piece. While the Biden administration cannot force you to buy an EV, it can, by capping tailpipe emissions and other coercive measures, compel producers to severely curtail the manufacturing of internal combustion engines. Cars drive up to the cost of gallons of gas, right? Likely result in the fundamental restructuring of America's automotive industry. Those regulations, Biden claims, will cut 10 billion tons of carbon dioxide emissions by 2055. Good Lord, 30 years from now. According to the EPA, EVs aren't just good for the planet, they're also good for your wallet. Really? Some analysts say these numbers don't add up. They predict that the Biden's EV industrial policy will fail about as badly and prove about as costly as most other government schemes to direct micromanage private sector industries. Claim number one, electric vehicles are good for the environment. The push for EVs, present administration claims, is necessary to cut global greenhouse gas emissions. EPA regulations focus solely on vehicle tailpipe emissions, where EVs have a clear advantage. When the manufacturing and charging of EVs is taken into account, electric vehicles become dramatically less green and can actually increase CO2 emissions. Electric vehicles are portrayed as transition from dirty gasoline-fueled vehicles to non-polluting electric vehicles. Looking at the whole picture, it's more accurate to say that electric vehicles exchange high-density liquid fuel for low-density mineral-based energy in the form of batteries, which are extracted and mined using fossil fuels, then charged with electricity generated at least in part by fossil fuels. Stay with me here. One basic issue with electric vehicles is that batteries are significantly less dense energy sources than liquid fossil fuels. In order to get the same driving range as 60 pounds of gasoline, an EV battery would have to weigh as much as 1,000 pounds. In order to mine enough material for one average electric vehicle battery, 250 tons of rock and earth must be moved. 50 tons of extracted minerals must be then transported, in most cases, to China, to be refined using what is typically a coal-powered process. The International Energy Agency says a typical electric car requires 6 times the mineral inputs of a conventional car. To meet the expected production of EVs, wind turbines, and solar panels, the IEA, International Energy Agency, project that the demand for lithium will grow by 40 times, demand for graphite, cobalt, and nickel by as much as 20 to 25 times, the demand for rare earth elements grow anywhere from 3 to 7 times, the demand for copper will double. By the way, where's all this coming from? Yeah, get ready. CO2 emissions from all this new mining will certainly increase. To highlight the uncertainty of emissions estimates from this process, some cite a compilation of 50 academic studies found that emissions from a single electric vehicle battery range from 8 to 20 tons of CO2, depending on where and how raw materials are sourced and processed. The high end of those ranges, nearly as much CO2 as is produced by the lifetime of fuel burned by an efficient conventional car. That's before the electric vehicle is even delivered to a customer and driven its first mile. Are you getting the picture? Claim number two, America's electric grid can power EVs. The director of reliability assessment at the North American Electricity Corp. said that the U.S. electricity grid is designed to handle peak demand in summer when Americans run air conditioning units, but that one electric vehicle charger is equivalent to about 2.5 normal-sized ACs. The NERC, North American Electric Reliability Corp., produces an annual long-term reliability assessment, saying while many areas of America's grid are expected to meet demand, several areas are at high risk of falling short. This condition is only exacerbated by government and private initiatives to replace reliable fossil fuel power production with weather-dependent wind and solar plants. One expert said you need quite a tremendous increase in electricity transmission capacity. To put all these charging stations along interstates and so forth is a pretty expensive proposition. In addition to building the charging stations and new generating capacity, there are the electric wires to connect each station into the grid. This entails mining of more copper and other minerals, more construction, and the CO2 emissions that go with it. Claim number three, electric vehicles are affordable. Sorry, had to laugh at that one. To date, electric vehicles have been a niche product. Although sales have increased dramatically in recent years, they actually still make up only 6% of all cars sold in America. EVs have been popular, often as a second vehicle, for people living near cities who drive short distances and can charge them at home or at work and don't have to rely on public charging stations. They've generally been cars for the urban affluent, as their price tag is above what many Americans can afford. The average cost of a new EV in 2023 was about a little more than $60,000, which is more than 30% above the average cost of a gas combustible engine, if you will, a vehicle. Where EVs fall short is the most basic reason why people buy cars. They provide freedom to go where you want, whenever you want. They can be refueled in minutes. And oil is a commodity that the United States has in abundance. Electric vehicles, by contrast, are tied to the electric grid, which increasingly is struggling to meet demand even at current levels. Hey, last summer, y'all remember right here in California? Governor Newsom and the political hacks, they asked EV owners, hey, don't charge your cars because the electric grid was struggling to meet the demand of regular households. In January, following rolling blackouts during Christmas, Tennessee Electricity Administrator Chris Templeton was asked what would happen if half of Tennesseans owned EVs during such an event. He responded they would be told not to charge them. Finally, claim four, electric vehicles are a good bet for America's automakers. A Wall Street Journal report noted the proliferation of new EV manufacturers, including those that went public in recent years. Rivian, Nikola, Canoo, Lordstown, Fisker, Workhouse Group, Mullen Automotive, and Lucid. Then they were quickly valued at billions of dollars. The report stated most had never sold a single car at their public debut. Fueled by cheap credit and political subsidies, their stock surged. And then their stocks crashed. One expert said the inherent costs of electric vehicles are tied to the mineral inputs that are needed to make the vehicles. We covered that. They're heavier than conventional vehicles, inherently require a radical increase in the consumption of basic metals, not just unusual metals, not just lithium or cobalt, but common metals like copper and aluminum. Finally, the CEO of Acme Lithium said regarding essential minerals, quote, every forecast suggests we're going to be in perpetual deficit. About 95% of all lithium produced today comes from four countries, Australia, Argentina, Chile, and wait for it, China. Said it's all fine to build battery factories, to build the infrastructure, to forecast thousands of vehicles to be on the road, but the supply chain needs to be put in place. It's an absolute concern by the auto manufacturers, by technology companies, by all areas of the supply chain, that we will have enough. One country that currently has first claim on EV raw materials, again, is China. Having worked out mining contracts with countries like the Democratic Republic of Congo, where 70% of cobalt is sourced, China has a controlling market share in the refining of essential EV minerals. China's share of refining is around 35% of nickel, 50 to 70% for lithium and cobalt, nearly 90% for rare earth elements. Given China's control over raw materials, Western automakers are becoming little more than assembly plants for imported materials, the supply of which they can't control. This leads some analysts to question if Western car manufacturers are surrendering the engineering and manufacturing expertise, as well as brand recognition they've built up over decades with normal cars. Finally, some car makers are stepping out of line to criticize the EV movement. In January, Carlos Tavares, the CEO of Stellantis, a merger of Fiat, Chrysler, and Peugeot to form the world's fifth largest car maker, said EVs were, quote, a technology chosen by politicians and imposed on the auto sector, end quote. Pitfalls of industrial policy and central planning are the state plans are based on political calculations. They're expensive and wasteful. They inevitably choose outdated or inferior technologies. They're slow to change course when plans fail or keep up with new innovations. Said I had a former colleague who said that there's always a problem when you sleep with elephants. And that is, you might get squashed. Getting in bed with governments is like sleeping with elephants. And the problem with this EV transition is that it's all driven by government policy more than consumer demand, end quote. Yeah, just buy those electric vehicles. 800-222-KABC. Bud Light, you drink beer? There's kind of a, I think it's a breaking story. And much more as we continue next with the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. I don't drink beer. I can only remember one time in high school. I was a jock. I was a basketball player. I never really got into drugs or drank and any of that. But one Friday night, we had a party at my place, and all I remember is the wash machine was stocked with beer, and we had a blast. And again, lightweight here. I have a beer or two, and I'm gone. I got so sick, I said I'd never drink alcohol again. And I'm not one to drink alcohol, but beer never acquired a taste. But I get it. It's like, you know, very popular. Y'all see the Bud Light campaign with the transgender, and I don't know if you saw this, and I didn't think it through when I first saw it. So they've taken a hit, evidently, with America not having it. The vice president of marketing, a woman named Alyssa Hennerscheid, is the woman, maybe you saw some of the videos where she's saying, oh, yes, this is a great idea, and we need to be more hip to the young people. And she was all about hiring, whatever his name is, I can't think of it, Dylan Mulvaney. Well, evidently, she's taken a leave of absence. She's folding under the heat. I got to take time off. It was her brilliant idea. But point was made off air. Hey, a lot of people went along with it, so I don't want to scapegoat her. But then somebody had the brilliant idea. Did you see the new pro-America Budweiser commercials? They brought the Clydesdales back, and oh my goodness gracious, it was, this story is bigger than beer, and this is the story of the American spirit. Advertisement shows the American flag being raised. I mean, really powerful commercial for Budweiser. By the way, I didn't know this. InBev, which owns Anheuser-Busch, is the world's largest brewer and owns Budweiser, Bud Light, Michelob, Stella Artois, Beck's, and a number of other brands. They own 630 beer brands in 150 countries. Can you say cha-ching? So they had this great idea, pro-American ad, 2 weeks after Dylan Mulvaney, the backlash. Right? I've seen a lot of Twitter posts. Oli London, the influencer and detransition activist, just railed, quote, the new advert comes after Anheuser-Busch CEO released a statement which failed to apologize for the backlash and instead talked about traditional values and being pro-American. Somebody said, you aren't putting that genie back in the bottle, guys. Yeah. So, Alyssa Heinerscheidt has taken a leave of absence. And I don't know. I don't drink beer, but I'll tell you this much. If I ever drink beer, it'll never be a Budweiser. Ever. Ever again. Never, ever, ever. This is the unpardonable sin. This is woke culture on barley and hops, if you will. It's disgusting what they're doing. But this isn't an anomaly. This is, it's everywhere. Let me digress a little bit here. I mentioned this last week. And again, this is my view, my view. I'm not saying I've got the market cornered on truth. Only God does, by his holy word in the Holy Bible. But my son and I have been watching a little bit of NBA basketball. And I struggle with pro sports anyway now. I'm a guy that grew up on sports. 70s. I was greatly involved in one of the most dominant programs have ever seen in college sports. I grew up coaching after I played high school and college ball. I coached for a while at the college level. I love competitive athletics. I love what it teaches you, and I've been all for it. And then the pro sport level, you know, we're all about wokeness now, whether it's the NFL, and I'm not here to say who's worse or not. I don't follow sports that closely now, but it's pretty much everywhere. And my son loves Golden State Warriors. He's 15, so we're watching some NBA. I don't watch much television anyway. But I have to tell you, and less about even the commentary with professional sports, but more about the programming now of television. I'm not being overly dramatic here, but I have to tell you, like, we've watched all three Warrior games against Sacramento from start to finish, and the programming, the commercials, I'm nauseous by what they're pumping through television. And in the 90s, 30 years ago, I did a radio program. I actually did a late night Sunday program in LA. I'm not saying this to go, boy, I'm really special, but I had the number one listen program Sunday nights at midnight for a lot of years. I did a 5-hour commercial-free live talk radio program. And in the 90s, I got wind of a book called In the Absence of the Sacred. It was 1992. And the subtitle I've mentioned on the program, The Failure of Technology and the Survival of the Indian Nations by a guy named Mander. He wrote the same book, I think it was like four arguments or six arguments for the elimination of television. This dude put forth at least why don't we have a balanced discussion regarding technology. Stay with me. There's a connection here. He listed all these segments in the book in the 90s about how technology, we just hear it's the next best thing and you got to have the latest goodie. And now with cell phones, I mean, in this day and age, you get the latest, whatever it is, Apple 29 and Apple 30 is around the corner. And you're just like, hey, oh, I need a bigger screen. I need a whatever. I'm being a little flippant here, but here's the point. This dude wrote a book called Eliminating Television. And it was more satire than literal, but he listed all of these things back in the 90s of the stuff that was being pumped through television. Now, 30 years later, back then, I don't know how many channels we had, not many. Now you've got hundreds. The overwhelming majority of the propaganda pushed through on television is just that. The wokeness part of culture everywhere. It was just, and it's accelerating. You know, I'm not going to name specific companies, but you watch a commercial, if you watch a basketball game, a sports company, and there they are. There's the transgenders, and they're the next heroes. Or you go to a break, and it's a insurance company, and it's two dudes at the altar kissing. Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. And I'm not just talking about from a moral standpoint. I'm just talking about some of the crap, the evil stuff. How evil is so normalized now. I've never been one to be a proponent for horror movies. But some like that stuff. Okay. You want to go to a movie and get scared? Okay, whatever. Have you noticed? I mean, I think it was the 70s. I was ruined by The Exorcist. I was dating a young woman named Debbie Mohawk. She wanted to go see this movie. I just wanted some loving. So she said, we're going to this movie. It was The Exorcist. I had no idea. Scarred for life now. That's the 70s. But now 50 years later, have you seen the crap that they're putting out? It's flat out demonic. And it's normalized on TV. There's a new commercial for the latest horror movie. It's a mom that's possessed or something. And my son's sitting there. It's, you know, halftime of the NBA, and they pump this movie out. And I'm like, I caught 3 seconds of it. I'm like, that's being pushed on TV during an NBA game? It's normalized. Evil's normalized. And some of us are saying, time out. So whether it's Bud Light saying, and go to my Instagram page for KMG Ministries. I posted that Italian athlete. The dude doesn't even remotely look like a woman. And he's smoking the field. And he's all proud of himself. Heralded as the next great, I mean, 8 super champs. And most of culture still gets it. And if I hear one more transgender activist or trans activist talking about transphobia and you're hateful if you just even mention it, like even question, hey, biologically there's male and female. I was watching a teacher testifying on Capitol Hill where she was being interviewed, and it was like, you're transphobic if you say men can't give birth. I'm like, really? But this is the world we live in. And this is the world that will continue to change until enough of us say, nuh-uh. Nope. Sorry. 800-222-5222. If you have any thoughts about this or anything else, 800-222-KABC. When we come back, we've got a couple of stories about AI. And I want to make mention of a story I did last week. I got a lot of emails from people saying, would you talk about the drought again and all the rain we've gotten? We'll hit that too. We'll take more calls. And we'll continue with more of this, The Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on The Frank Sontag Show. One of the few reasons we are back on the air is because of our sponsors, and we thank them. I thank Phil Liberatore from IRS Problem Solvers and Dan Johnson from Berglund and Johnson Law Group. For over 40 years, Berglund and Johnson have been fighting for those who have suffered life-changing injuries, even in the case of death, because of negligence, wrongful acts, auto, truck, motorcycle accidents. If you've been seriously injured, I urge you to reach out. Berglundandjohnson.com is their website. If you call them directly for a free evaluation, costs you nothing. And actually, you'll never pay anything unless they win your case if you take them on as well. 800, the number 4, and the words if hurt. 800-4-IF-HURT, the Berglund and Johnson Law Group. The Chinese regime has established police departments outside its borders, including in New York City, where officials announced criminal charges against the CCP agents. Among the individuals being charged are members of the CCP's Ministry of Public Security, and the crackdown could help shut down similar overseas police stations operating elsewhere. Meanwhile, New York City is rolling out new robot police. See this story? The new K-5 units will start by patrolling the transit system, are slated to help improve public safety around the city's subways. Systems are being met with mixed reactions, with both a want for better rule of law, yet also with concerns about how similar robot police are used in other countries. The robot police. Speaking of artificial intelligence, in a report published earlier this month, two economists say a new wave of AI systems, such as ChatGPT, could have, quote, a major impact on employment markets across the globe. End quote. While advances in such technology can trigger shifts in workflows, it could expose the equivalent of 300 million full-time jobs to automation. As part of their report, the two economists analyzed databases detailing the type of tasks performed in over 900 different occupations and estimated that about two-thirds of U.S. occupations are exposed to some degree of automation by AI. By the way, you may have heard some, and probably near the top, Elon Musk has been speaking out about the risks to society and humanity regarding AI. Musk told Tucker Carlson, quote, AI is more dangerous than, say, mismanaged aircraft design or production maintenance or bad car production in the sense that it is the potential, however small one may regard that probability, but it is non-trivial. It has the potential for civilizational destruction, end quote. Last month, the industrialists joined more than 1,100 individuals, including experts and industry execs, such as Apple co-founder Steven Wozniak, in signing an open letter calling on all AI labs to immediately pause training of systems more powerful than ChatGPT-4 for at least 6 months. In their letter, experts warn that contemporary AI systems are, quote, now becoming human competitive at general tasks and question whether or not we should automate away all the jobs, including the fulfilling ones. The letter went on to say, should we develop non-human minds that might eventually outnumber, outsmart, obsolete, and replace us? Should we risk loss of control of our civilization? Such decisions must not be delegated to unelected tech leaders, end quote, the letter stated. Yeesh. I'll tell you, the whole AI thing is really scary to me. And yet some are just, it's cute. you know, hey, let me just type in ChatGPT and, hey, write me a song. And, oh, that's really cute. You got a little jingle about such and such. And or, you know, writing a book or whatever it is. But when you have experts in the field saying, hey, we need a little time out here, I would heed their warnings. America's nurses are burnt out and ready to quit hospitals nationwide. According to recent statistics, many nurses are now burnt out, fed up, and ready to quit. 53% reported pessimism about the future of healthcare in the United States. 27% weren't sure. That's 80% of the group. Robert Rossetter is the chief communications officer for the American Association of Colleges of Nursing. Quote, since the pandemic, we're seeing more reports about nurse dissatisfaction due to burnout, insufficient staffing, and poor working conditions, which may lead to more nurses leaving the profession. According to data, as their neighbors locked down and worked remotely earlier in the pandemic, healthcare workers put in overtime, pressed down concerns about spreading COVID. According to a recent survey, 83% of respondents felt their mental health had been affected by pandemic-related stress. 43% felt their employers did not address their mental health concerns. One anonymous source high up in the nursing community said this, quote, staff desperately need work-life balance and won't stay without it. Throughout the United States, many nurses are doing accelerated retirement. 800-222-5222. And Joe Biden says he's going to veto the bill protecting female sports. The Biden administration has announced that the president will veto H.R. 734 that seeks to protect female sports from transgender athletes. The bill seeks to prevent biological males from participating in women's sports. Quote, the administration strongly opposes House passage of H.R. 734. The Biden administration addressed the issue by focusing on elementary schoolers who would miss learning life skills if the bill were passed. Politicians should not dictate a one-size-fits-all requirement that forces coaches to remove kids from their teams. Huh? The statement talked about a nationwide mental health crisis suffered by transgender youth will be further stigmatized following the passage of such a law. The Biden administration said, quote, discrimination has no place in our nation's schools or on our playing fields, end quote. Moreover, the administration blamed congressional Republicans, convenient, for prioritizing policies that, what they say, quote, discriminate against children instead of focusing on pressing issues like raising teacher pay, keeping guns out of schools, addressing the mental health crisis of our youth, and on and on. Statement failed to address issues faced by female athletes due to the presence of males in competitions. Right? Up until recently, historically, that has never been allowed to happen because of biological advantages that males possess. During a House Appropriations Committee hearing, Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona was present to defend the department's proposed new Title IX rule. When Representative Andrew Clyde questioned Cardona on, quote, what is a woman? Secretary of Education gave no direct answer. He said, quote, our focus at the department is to provide equal access to students, including students who are LGBTQ, access free from discrimination, end quote. Even after repeatedly asking Cardona to redefine a woman, Clyde received no answer. Representative Burgess Owens, former pro athlete, NFL, warns that the ramifications of allowing biological men to compete in women's sports go far beyond a game. Many girls rely on athletic scholarships to get into college. Owens said, quote, "We should not allow biological men to steal from women and girls their spot on a sports team. We need more people with old school courage to stand up and say as much. You can't let young girls continue to suffer just to stay on the safe side of political correctness," end quote. That's not even getting into the locker room situation. But Biden administration, Joe Biden said he's going to veto it. 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. Our final segment is next. We're going to talk a little bit about all the recent rains. And are we going to start hearing the word drought again? Well, stick around and find out. 790-KABC. Little Ben Harper for you on 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. I am not the kind of guy that always says, "I told you so." And I am very concerned about the state of California and this onslaught of propaganda and flat out lying about the drought. We just saw extraordinary rains. And the average person would think, okay, well, we should be good now. Here's a story we covered last week, and many of you asked me to read it again. With a record snowpack in the Sierra Madre Mountains, a spring and summer of sustained snowmelt, flooding await. As this excess water seeps into the sea, meanwhile, San Diego is paying $38 per acre foot to desalinize seawater. Little of winter's abundant rains and snowpack will be impounded and retained for use in a future where, as California's hydrologic record confirms, drought is certain to go on. All this water will flow into the sea over soil that was dust months ago and will be dust again because there is little additional capacity to impound or divert water for storage in Central Valley despite dozens of water retention and flood control projects over the decades being proposed, in some cases tentatively approved. What's the hang-up here? What's the bottom line? The proposed water storage reservoirs have all been extensively litigated, especially in reference to the Federal Endangered Species Act. All are subjected to biological opinions or biops regarding two ESA listed species. The 3-inch Delta smelt, regarded by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, and salmon, regulated by the National Marine Fisheries. One expert said, quote, "We're in the greatest country in the world, and we've got two different agencies trying to manage fish species in two different ways. And it creates gridlock and a grinding halt. We can do much better than that." So because of environmental bureaucracy, because of the smelt and the salmon, all of the rains, well, let me finish the story here. Quote, "These crises are predictable. It's going to stop raining again. We're going to experience droughts. But they're preventable if we make the right investments. The system is broken. We have to fix it. The water is streaming down the hills into the sea across flood plains that will soon be dusty flats," said DG Bar Ranch's owner Tony DeGroote. Quote, "God has given us an open door to act." DeGroote cited floods in 69, 82, 97, and fears he's witnessing another wasted blessing go by. He said, "We've done it to ourselves. We're not suffering from acts of God. We're suffering from acts of man." Radical environmentalists, lobbyists, and big business, big money here. We haven't, to the best of my understanding, it's been decades, 40, 50 years. There's no will to store any of this water. We get these excessive rains and they all just get washed out to sea. And then we start hearing about the drought. Better conserve water, right? Your water bill going up. Oh, gas. Gas is bad to the environment. Your gas bill goes up. Drive that electric vehicle. Don't pollute the air with CO2. You know, I never thought I would ever say this in 30 plus years of radio. I'm not a historical expert, but I'd recently have been reading about the Civil War. Man, I don't want to overgeneralize or overstate this, but I think the political elite are baiting the populations of people that are pretty fed up. I think they're baiting a confrontation here. Now, I happen to think the confrontation should be in the mind. That if we use our God-given intelligence, especially in this age of technology and everything, we could circumvent all of these political hacks. It's very easy. I do not comply. That's all you do. No, thank you. Not interested. Whatever happened to freedom of choice? In my view, we saw the trial run during the lockdowns. And massive populations went belly up. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Yes, I'm afraid. Okay. And again, if you took the shot, whatever, I have no issue with you. But force compliance, force mandating, people losing their jobs? Last point that is very important. I've gotten a lot of correspondence in the last 6 weeks from many of you smarter than me, sending me a lot of information, a lot of documentation about the globalists and what is to come and what they're going to try to do and digital currency and all that. Hey, I don't doubt any of it. I think the intention is there. But I think the X factor is if enough of us go, okay, sure. And here's what I think is going on. I think you're really finding out what people are made of. Now, I'm a follower of Christ. I believe that the Bible is inerrant in God's word. I got radically saved at 54. Most of my life, I was a New Ager. You know, all good. It's all about love. Leave me alone. Relativism, no absolute truth. And then I got saved in 2009, and all of a sudden I read the Bible, and it's like, man, this makes a lot of sense. So what am I saying here? We are watching and witnessing the mockery of God right now, where people are turning their backs on God and acting as if somehow we're God, and we're going to do what we're going to do. And part of that is snubbing the nose at authority or the rule of law. I believe evil exists. I haven't believed evil existed for most of my life. I believed evil was the absence of good. Let's just all love each other. And evil's not a force. It's the absence of good. Yeah, right. Bucko. Wake up one day and thinking, where have I been? Evil's not a force. Just look around. Look at the lack of the implementation of just law and order now. What do you think? Criminals and people acting accordingly, you just think they need love? I mean, I'm all for giving people second chances and recidivism rates, and I'm very sensitive to incarceration and all that stuff. But you want to see what's being rolled out? Go up to San Francisco. Take a stroll. Do a walk in San Francisco one day. Legalizing, you know, letting people shoot up, defecate. This is, and it's interesting. I have a minute left. I'm just going to say it, and you may roll your eyes. This is demonic. This is absolute evil manifest where it doesn't even hide itself anymore. And a lot of us, We're just doing our own thing. Hey, just as long as it doesn't bother me, doesn't impact my life, guess what? It's right outside your door. It's coming out of your TV. It's on the freeway when you drive home. It's everywhere. And don't buy the lie that I'm only one person. What can I do? A lot of single people have led to social change historically. And it's time for us to use our God-given intelligence, say no more, and discover who we are and God's purpose for our lives and say no to this stuff. And God is absolutely in control, without a doubt. But we have to do something as well. We have free will. If you miss any portion of this broadcast, go to franksontag.com. All of our podcasts are up in its entirety. Lord willing, we will be back here next week for another Frank Sontag Show. You are listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is furnished by Phil Liberatore and the law offices of Berglund & Johnson.